Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two. We're live in L.A. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. By the way, I'm interviewing Tom Brady right after the show today. I came up with my question. I thought about it all weekend. I came up with a new question. It's better. And Ryan knows the question. Ryan knows that we're not going to talk about it. I want to surprise Tom at 11:55 Pacific. And 2:55 Eastern, I have to jump on with Jim Gray and Brady. There's a bunch of people. It could be 10 people, I guess. So I got to pick just one of them. Big J Journalism. So I thought all weekend about the question. You get one.
Right.
And Tom, I'm not going to sit around and listen to me blabber on. I got to have one big question. Ryan, what did you think of the question?
It's a very good question. Very, very good question. Very thoughtful, very thought-provoking.
So on brand.
Yeah. Very fitting for Colin. Not rear view mirror.
That's right. Living in the is, not the was.
I had a Big J Journalism moment this Saturday on my show.
What happened?
I got ink on my finger.
Oh, like I do all day? You
all
mean?
Day.
Yeah.
Every day, Colin gets ink all over his finger doing all the Big J Journalism
notes.
Sourcing and notes.
Yeah.
And it finally happened. I could never figure out how you did it.
And then you got it.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Colin Right, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Download the app, deliver it to your home or your nearest location. Limited time, free game day, Saturday delivery. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, we liked when the Colts went out and were aggressive and got Carson Wentz. Everybody doubted it. All the naysayers have suddenly disappeared. 11 touchdowns, one pick. That's the fewest picks among starters. We said before he's got talent and he was good with Frank Reich. But the people that replaced Frank Reich didn't relate to him. You cannot give up on somebody that's 6'4 with a big arm, can run. He can be reckless. There are times he drives me nuts. But his last four games, his passer rating's over 100. Last night, he was so good in the second half, played under control. It's amazing. Y'all banged on the Colts for doing this. Where'd y'all go? Is there a power outage across the country? Because we said from the very beginning, this is the right move. You have to get an athletic quarterback in 2021. He was as good as any on the market, and he has been terrific. Their issues are not Carson Wentz. 11 touchdowns, one pick. He had a weird turnover last night, but it was a monsoon, so I'll give him a pass.
Where Colin was wrong.
My Blazing Five stinks. I was 2-3. I'm only going to bet on B's. So Burrow and the Bengals won for me, and Brady and the Buccaneers won for me. Everybody else stunk. So this point forward, only B's. I'm under 40%. I'm terrible this year. I got to figure it out. I don't even like tonight's Monday Night Football game, but I will have a pick Thursday.
Where Colin was right.
I said when Robert Saleh got picked to coach the Jets, I said the media is falling in love with the story and his energy and his handsomeness. There's no proof he can coach. None. And I don't like Zach Wilson as a prospect. Well, Zach's hurt, so my criticism will be mild. He's lost. But Robert Saleh, lose by 41 off a bye. They haven't scored a point in the first quarter. He was asked by a sideline reporter before the game, did you change anything up during the bye week? No, we didn't change anything. Just execution. No, it's not. It's plays and scheme. Nothing against Saleh, but there's no proof he was going to be good. And I said this. You're falling in love with his looks and his energy and his story, and they're all great. There is no proof he can coach. And I thought he was a little bit of a dubious hire for New York. I wanted somebody that had some history, you know, being a head coach somewhere. Saleh didn't.
Where Colin was wrong.
Sam Darnold was benched. Sam Darnold needed to be benched. And according to local reporters in Carolina, Charlotte, Deshaun Watson, they're going after him, and they should. You know, I watched Sam yesterday, and I've come to the conclusion the game sometimes is just too fast for him. He's got a slow delivery to begin with. That's always been sort of his thing. But, I mean, in four games, four TDs, seven picks, 56% completion percentage. Now, I know the offensive line isn't good. Either is Joe Burrow's. Either was Justin Herbert. I just think the game sometimes moves too fast for him. I don't think he was well coached at USC. He always feels like he's kind of playing football catch-up. Too many bad throws. By the way, I can love the kid and hate the quarterback. Right now, Sam, I'd bench him too. I'd go get Deshaun Watson too if I had to.
Where Colin was right.
We begged Ron Rivera of the Washington football team, go get a quarterback. You've got a roster. Terry McLaurin, defensive front. You got players. You got a running game. You got to get a quarterback. They didn't. They're 2-5. Taylor Heineke, who is a backup. He's fun. He is a backup. They have now the second worst point differential in the NFL. Taylor Heineke in the last three games has 4 picks and 2 touchdowns and a 59% completion percentage. He's fun. You can use him as a backup. He can have moments. You could put up a YouTube reel for Taylor Heineke and it'd be fun. I mean, he's got a little athletic ability. But all offseason, Joey and I must have hit on this 20 times. What are you doing? You have Dak Prescott in the division. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Russell Wilson. You got all these quarterbacks in the NFC. You got to do better than Taylor Heineke. And they were passive, and they're paying for it.
Where Colin was wrong.
It's only 3 games, but I watched the Lakers in all 3 games. I don't know if defensively this can be an elite team. Their bench is old. Their starters are old. They have great size, but literally no quickness. Phoenix Friday ran up and down the court on him. At one point, it was a 35-point lead at the Staples Center. Well, Trevor Ariza is coming back. He's 36 years old. Well, Kendrick Nunn is not an elite defender. You got AD, Dwight Howard fighting. This is a lot of egos, and Melo and Westbrook and Dwight Howard and LeBron. First of all, they don't have a lot of three-point shooters. That's problematic. You don't have to be great at that. You got to have some. They don't. But the other thing is their age and their bench, they are slow. That you cannot hide. Right now, 21st defensively in the NBA.
Where Colin was right.
I didn't like the Nick Sirianni coaching hire for the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought he was more of a position coach. I didn't even really think I would give the reins to him as an offensive coordinator. Philadelphia leads the NFL in penalties. A very dubious onside kick. The data told you they were going to be competitive yesterday, and their offensive and defensive lines were totally manhandled. Listen, I'm not saying it's easy, but this organization ran out Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson beat Belichick in a Super Bowl, and some would argue outcoached him. This organization ran out Chip Kelly. I got news for you. Chip Kelly had back-to-back winning years in his first two. I look at this as hiring somebody that you can control. That never works. It just doesn't work in any industry, including this one. Hire good people, give them power, give them leverage, give them say, and right now Philadelphia looks lost. I could blame Jalen Hurts for everything, but, you know, I don't know. I just don't know what he's working with at this point.
Where Colin was wrong.
The best roster in 20 years is out of the playoffs. The Braves beat the Dodgers. Listen, part of this with the Dodgers is they couldn't stay healthy. Kershaw got hurt. Max Muncy is hurt. Justin Turner is hurt. Max Scherzer had a dead arm and couldn't pitch in game 6. Joe Kelly got hurt. Who in their right mind can lose like 5 and 6 key players? Nobody. But it should be noted, the Braves, little deeper, healthier, had injuries of their own. And the best baseball roster I think I've seen in about 20 years, and I'm no baseball savant, but the Dodgers were eliminated. Almost feels like they just spent themselves, all their pitching in the Giants series, and ran out of gas. But congrats to the Braves. They have not been to the World Series. This is off the top of my head. It's got to be late 90s, like 98 or 99. They have not been to the World Series in a long time. And it's a great baseball city. Every city's got a team they're devoted to. Atlanta's the Braves. They love their college football. The Hawks, Falcons, they love their Braves. Rich history. All right, good to have you in. Mike Silver, last hour today. Jeff Schwartz will be joining us, too, on a Monday. It was a weird Sunday with a lot of blowouts and a lot of ugly games and a lot of mismatches. One of the blowouts we did not think would be Kansas City being trucked. I mean, it was ugly fast. Jeff Schwartz, brother of Mitchell Schwartz, the former chief, will be joining us next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow on Fox, it's Game 1 of the World Series as Freddie Freeman and the Braves take on Jose Altuve and the Astros. It all begins tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
You know, Bucky Brooks and he always talks about quarterbacks are tractors or trailers. A tractor is you pull your team. That looks like Joe Burrow. Not a perfect roster. You pull the team. A trailer is the team mostly pulls you. I would say that's Baker Mayfield. Not a shot at him. I think that's Kirk Cousins. I think that that's Jared Goff. That doesn't mean you're not a pro and deserve money. Then you get into the argument, which one's Derek Carr? Because there are Sundays he looks like the tractor. He's carrying a team. And then there are other times it looked like the team's carrying him. But when you watch Joe Burrow yesterday, that is what you see. That is a tractor, which is they still don't have a great O-line. We don't know if Zach Taylor's it. They're still in a rebuild. And he's pulling them to a different place. Whereas Baker's got the best O-line in football since the Cowboys. He's got great running backs. The minute anybody's hurt, he doesn't look the same. Cleveland's pulling him. And by the way, Kevin Stefanski, a very good coach, sees that. They manage Baker. They're not managing Joe Burrow. Like, one of the things I saw yesterday that was really impressive was Carson Wentz. He's a dome quarterback in a monsoon on the road, and he had a really bad turnover in the first half. They didn't care. I mean, you watch how Garoppolo gets coached by Shanahan and how Frank Reich coaches Carson Wentz. One coach has confidence in his quarterback. Carson Wentz, in a rainstorm outside off ugly turnovers, they're just letting him go. That's a tractor. Carson Wentz is a tractor. He's got receiver injuries. They lost another safety. They're on the road. They had bad fumbles. And he just kind of pulls the Colts and pulls them up. And that was an impressive performance for me. Jeff Schwartz played in the NFL for a long time, 8 years, in fact. His brother Mitchell Schwartz was part of that Super Bowl-winning Chiefs team. He joins me now live. Writes articles for FoxSports.com. So let's just address Kansas City. And, you know, I said earlier, we all know Mahomes is great, but being quarterback is not a linear experience. You have dry patches, you lose a coordinator, you lose a left tackle. What are you seeing first with Mahomes and then with the Chiefs?
Well, Mahomes is trying to do too much. And I think he's trying to do too much because he feels the pressure from the defense, because the defense is not really stopping anyone. And he's trying to do too much, and it's compounding errors upon errors. He likes to make big plays. That's what he's done for his entire career. But right now, defenses are sitting back in zone. It's like, hey, man, you have to beat us by dinking and dunking down the field. You have to be patient enough to take the plays that are there. That are not home run plays. You might have to have 15 play drives to score touchdowns. And it's hard for him at times to do that. And again, he's very low on the list of problems for the Chiefs.
Right.
There's talent deficiencies for poor drafting. He has covered up a lot of the problems the Chiefs have had. But the problem is when he doesn't cover them up anymore, everything gets exacerbated. And I think that that's where they're at right now. Look, they entered the game against the Titans, number one in the NFL in points per drive, number one in points per scoring opportunity. They're turning the ball over at an alarming rate. They have more turnovers so far this year than all of 18 and all of 19, and one less than last season. They're going to stop turning it over at some point. It's impossible to have these many turnovers each week. And when that happens, the offense will be fine. The offensive line played fine until yesterday. You're allowed to have one bad performance a season. The problem is when the defense is not carrying the load, and they can't rush the passer, they can't tackle, they can't stop the run, it does put that pressure on the offense. And Mahomes has not been in this spot before in his career. I think people writing off the Chiefs are pretty silly, guys. Like, are you telling me that come January, if the Chiefs are the 6 or 7 seed, you're going to feel comfortable with your favorite team playing Kansas City? Like, you're not, okay? So they'll be fine. They'll figure it out. They got the Giants Monday Night Football recovery game. They'll be 4-4. They'll be okay, guys.
I agree with you. I just think right now they're not a very good football team, and it's okay. No. I mean, Mahomes is pressing. It happens. If the great ones have bad weeks, too. So the Cincinnati Bengals, and it was a really good argument as a former offensive lineman, people thought, go get an offensive lineman. Yes. And Joe Burrow lobbied hard. No. Go get me my receiver from LSU. And I can understand, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I could understand people going, well, of course Joe Burrow likes his teammate. What did you make of it when he said it, and what do you make of that now?
Well, I would have drafted Penei Sewell. I said it at the time. I said it very loudly at the time, and I was wrong about that because Ja'Marr Chase has unlocked this offense. He has done a fabulous job of making Joe Burrow the quarterback that people expected him to be. Right? Joe Burrow did not complete any passes downfield last year, past 30 yards. This year, unstoppable, right? Unstoppable player right now. And he has made that big of a difference. I think Penei Sewell will be a great pro. He's still only 20 years old.
Right.
But he would have not have made this offense become this good in such a short amount of time. And the Bengals are legit, guys. They played a Baltimore defense that, yes, they're injured, but they dominated the entire game. And I was completely wrong. He has done a fabulous job. He has made this team better. And look, they have a couple more years to fix pieces on their offensive line. They'll get there. But if Joe Burrow gets the ball out as he's doing and throwing two guys like Ja'Marr Chase and like their tight ends and the other wide receivers and Mixon as well, P. Ryan, they have weapons there. They're playing good football. I'll take the L on that one.
You know, it's really interesting, Jeff. I was talking to an executive about 2 months ago about this, and he said it was not on the air. It was a private conversation. And he just said, listen, man, the game is changing. If you're arguing over wide receiver or somebody who doesn't touch the ball, in 2021, you have to take a wide receiver. The spacing, the game has changed, and I think you're seeing it here, is Penei Sewell's going to be great, but he doesn't touch the ball, and Ja'Marr Chase changes coverages. He makes the other receivers better. He makes Joe Burrow better. From that, I want to go to the Niners, and I really believe this. I know Kyle Shanahan is a great coordinator, and he's always had a reputation as a fairly intense, rigid guy. You know, I watch their offense, Jeff, and sometimes I think his personality bleeds into the offense. I think it's fairly rigid, and I think it's fairly predictable. And I watched them last night, and I'm like, if you don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo, you're better off just playing Trey Lance, because it was alarming to me their lack of trust in Garoppolo. I mean, I know we know this, well documented, but what did you make of that entire game last night?
Yeah, it's a game that you can't lose, right? They're at home. They're outside. They're playing in the rain against a dome team, and you're supposed to have the better offensive line and the better defensive line and the better play caller, and none of that seemed to matter, even with Carson Wentz having some ridiculous turnovers, as he often does at times. The creativity on offense is kind of fascinating, because that's what Kyle has been so good at over his career, right? Making sure the offensive line and quarterback are in the right spot to really have explosive plays. And I think it's a pretty big indictment when Darius Leonard, the Colts linebacker, said after the game, yeah, that first drive, they came out and fooled us, right? They had misdirection and concepts that kind of stole our eyes here and there, and then they didn't do it anymore. Like, so the creativity from Shanahan is gone. And I think you're right. That's part of it, is there's no confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know why he's still playing. I don't get it. Their season is basically over now. And the only way to fix their season is to inject Trey Lance and hope something different happens. It probably won't this year. But now there's questions about Shanahan, right? I mean, his win percentage is what, around 40% now in five seasons? He made the Super Bowl 1 year, and that was the year Jimmy Garoppolo was his healthiest. But we've seen a big regression from that year. I think it's time to question whether or not he is able to keep this thing rolling with pieces changing around him.
So you're in Charlotte right now. It's not hard to say you're wrong. I love Sam Darnold, the kid, but the game's too fast for him. And I've always been able to separate art from artist. The bottom line here is, if Deshaun Watson's available and you're a GM and you have a quarterback that's not working, I understand the game. I understand the sport. I understand the position. So regardless of that, it is. I mean, I looked at this yesterday when I heard the stories about Miami going after Deshaun Watson. Jay Glazer brought it up, and I thought, you know, as I'm watching that Carolina game, I'm like, I think I'd throw my hat in the ring if I was Carolina. So you live there. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think they're trying to make a play for him. Look, their owner, David Tepper, is an aggressive guy, right? I mean, he wants to win now. He's paid a lot of money for the franchise. There talks about a new stadium. They're opening a new practice facility. Like, he wants a quarterback that's in there to help them win games. And unfortunately, that's not Sam Darnold. Look, I know it's kind of callous to throw away quarterbacks so early in their career, right? But we're seeing a trend, right? If you're not good within your first 2 years, you're probably not good. There's a couple outliers, Alex Smith, Josh Allen for sure, but that's kind of about it, right? Like, if you're not good early on, you really don't have the it factor, you're not making plays, you're probably not going to do that on your second team 4 years later. And Sam Darnold's just not doing that right now. And the thing about Miami training for Watson, they don't have a first-round pick, guys. That's the Eagles' pick this year. So the Panthers do have the draft picks to go get Deshaun Watson if they like him. He's not suspended. He's not on the NFI list. So if they trade for him, he can play right away, right? Right. He's not playing right now because the Texans have decided not to play him. So if you're trying to make a playoff push this year, just get him in there now, have him play 8 or 9 weeks, and get ready for next season. Now would be the time to make that trade.
So just your thoughts. I watched I don't want to be too judgmental on coaches, but like, Nick Sirianni doesn't feel like it's working. Dan Campbell, it's not working in terms of wins, but the team does play really, really hard for Dan. And I thought yesterday he was very clever. They went for it on multiple occasions. He's up and down the bench. you know, he's really inspirational on the sidelines. So even though Dan may not be my cup of tea, I can't bang on him this morning. What do you make of what the Rams are with Stafford? Are you a little surprised that it's so good, so fast, it looks so easy for Stafford?
A little surprised, yes. I just didn't buy, you know, Stafford. He was an upgrade over Goff. I got that. I mean, Goff, by the way, is 0-14 now in games not coached by Sean McVay. He has not done anything. So I get the upgrade to Stafford. But I just didn't think it'd be this good. I really did not. And the way they're able to hit, you know, obviously what Kupp is doing, but the run game, the offensive line, the balance between run and pass, right? The way they're able to set up things. And look, Stafford said when he was traded, I want to perform in these big time games, and he has. He has played well so far. And real quickly on the Lions. Look, I'm with you. I kind of mock Dan Campbell with that kneecap thing. But, dude, his teams play hard.
I know. I
mean, they're 0-7, and they are in every game outside that Bengals game. They play very hard for him. If they get a quarterback in this draft, which isn't the best draft for quarterbacks, they're going to be good, I think. Like, they play for an 0-7 team. I've been on bad teams before. We didn't play as hard as this Lions team do. They play really hard. They're just not good at quarterback right now.
What was the worst team you played on?
The 2010 Panthers. We were 2-14, and we averaged 12 points a game on offense. It was the Jimmy Clausen year. It's pretty hard to do that with a Pro Bowl left tackle, a Pro Bowl wide receiver, and two Pro Bowl running backs. But that's where we were. Yep, 12 points a game.
And by the way, and so you not that the team quit, because I think Detroit plays really hard, but you could sense by week 7 or 8 it was over. All right.
Well, I thought we actually played really hard. We just weren't very good. I mean, like, we just couldn't, even with Clausen there, we got blown out a lot of times. I don't think anyone actually quit. We just weren't good. But you get to a point where you enter a game and think to yourself, yeah, we're not winning this game. I mean, like, that's not a good feeling to be in. I feel like the Lions aren't there quite yet. But there were games. We had a Week 16 game in Pittsburgh where we lost 27-3, like 100 yards on offense. We were going to win that game. I mean, they were 12-2 or something like that. They're playing hard. We played hard for a while. You get to a point where you just have no chance to win games.
Yeah. Jeff Schwartz, great seeing you as Owen, my man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. The thing with football, everything's on film. So if you're going to be a free agent or the team, that's the power.
You're always auditioning.
You're always auditioning in the NFL. I mean, Brady no longer is, but there's a certain pride and vanity to playing well over time and your own standard. But yeah, you know, when I watched Detroit yesterday, first of all, when's the last time a team faked two punts, both worked, and an onside in the history of the league?
Yeah, no. And I was thinking watching that game, if this was a team that we considered maybe a competitor, we might be like, what are you doing? You're just a little hacky with all the extra stuff. But, I mean, you got to try everything.
Everything.
You got to give them credit. Like, they were in the game. And they are in games consistently.
Yeah, their second fake punt, I honestly thought, somebody's going to steal that. It was so clever and so fast. I'm like, that, you know what? Like, football coaches on the couch, they steal stuff. I've had coaches tell me that. That second fake punt, I'm like, that'll show up 4 weeks from now in, you know, Jacksonville. Somebody's stealing that fake punt.
And why not? Why not try and get some easy points early? Like,
there's nothing original. We're all stealing stuff.
Yeah. Nothing's new.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line.
You know, it's
news.
The old Tony Bennett, the great singer. He said, steal from everybody. It's called research. You steal from one person, you're a thief. If you steal from everybody.
Yeah, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. It's lots of cliches to follow it. but basically, you're doing what someone has already done at this point. You're just doing it your own way.
Yeah.
Well, Tua threw for a career-high 4 touchdowns yesterday, but it was still not enough to lift the Dolphins past the Falcons. They lost 30-28. Mm-hmm. Following the game, Tua was asked about the Deshaun Watson rumors and if Flores had spoken to him about them.
I hear it, but I'm not really focused on that. The only thing is, you know, I really respect and appreciate his transparency, you know, with where he's at with that. But, you know, within our conversations, I like to keep those private too. So
I really feel bad for Tua.
He last two games, Joy, he's played his best back-to-back games. He's completed 75% of his throw. He had two throws in this game. Both back of the end zone. One was rolling left touch. That was a great throw. And then the other one, I forget where he has on the field, but it was a touchdown too, and the receiver or tight end, I think, jumped into the end zone. So he had a couple of really good throws. Now he had two horrible picks.
Right.
And that's kind of the thing with him. His picks are bad picks, which he's young. I get it. But I do think this is one of these, Joy. They've made their mind up, and they probably made it up 6 months ago.
Of course, which is why it's nonsense that they're in this situation to begin with. And look, we've gone over the Tua situation a million times, but he's never had the opportunity to get any momentum going in his entire career.
Yeah.
And that's on the Dolphins. He didn't set this situation up. Now, obviously, the Deshaun Watson rumors have been going on since late August, which Watson has a no-trade clause. So this situation with Carolina now or any of these other teams that are coming in at the home stretch of the trade deadline, which is November 2nd, it's really actually up to Watson because he has a no-trade clause. So if somebody comes to the Texans with a, you know, king's ransom of picks and Watson doesn't want to go there, it doesn't matter. So they're in this is a very complicated situation for many, many reasons.
Yeah.
But that also is very significant. Now, whatever Tua did in this game, it also comes down to the fact that the offensive line is last in pass blocking.
Yeah, they've really regressed.
And 21st in run blocking. So you would need to bring in somebody who can cover that blemish up. But the regression of the Dolphins from last year to this year is just,
wow,
actually very staggering.
It was most
a bad, bad loss yesterday.
Most entertaining game with mediocre teams in the league, though.
Yeah.
I found it.
It was a good watch.
Good watch.
But it's just, they're in a bad situation. Almost as bad as the Jets. Zach Wilson is out indefinitely after injuring his right knee in yesterday's 54-13 loss to the Patriots. An MRI this morning reportedly confirmed that he sprained his PCL, so he will be sidelined for 2 to 4 weeks. And after the loss, Robert Saleh got worked up about the team's struggles.
As the NFL, you give up 50 points, it's embarrassing. A helpless feeling where you're just watching and you're trying to figure something out. If you need somebody, and it's just my opinion, to be in your butt yelling at you to get going, playing a child's game at a king's ransom, then you don't deserve to wear the logo, period. And I know we got great character guys. I know they were playing their butts off. It's just every once in a while you get your excuse my language, you get your teeth knocked in.
Two king's ransom mentions in the show today.
Yeah, they have not scored. I think what's troubling to me, and this is the same thing with the Niners. So the Niners are off a bye and look disorganized, and the Jets are off a bye and couldn't move the ball in the first quarter and didn't score. It's like, that matters now. That worries me because we have a history, Joy. We have data.
Yeah.
The really good coaches off a bye like win 75% of their games. It's like the great coaches, you can go Barry Alvarez, Nick Saban, your great coaches in bowl games when you have extra weeks are hard to beat. Chris Peterson. Yeah, I mean, it's like you can't come off a bye if you're Kyle Shanahan or Robert Saleh and be awful. You don't have to win. You can't be awful.
They've failed to score in the first quarter for the sixth straight game. The first team to do that since the 2008 Detroit Lions, who finished 0-16. They've been outscored 44-0 in the opening quarter and 106-20 in the first half of games this season. So saying they start slow is a bit of an understatement. Zach Wilson was replaced by Mike White. Their next four games are against the Bengals, then at the Colts on Thursday Night Football.
Those are losses, yeah.
The Bills.
Loss.
And then the Dolphins. So
good luck.
Yeah, it could be from really bad to worse. And look, they're not a good team. That's why they have a new head coach, and that's why they have Zach Wilson there. But again, what you want to see with these rebuilding from the ground up teams is just a little bit of growth.
That's right.
Through bunches of the season. It doesn't need to be one game. You just need to see trends in that first year. That I don't have grand expectations for Jacksonville. I didn't have grand expectations for New York. But you just want to see things that inspire you, like the Lions. We can say positive things about the Lions.
No, listen, I almost tweeted it. I was, just to be sarcastic, I was going to go, damn Campbell, better than Sean McVay. I was so close to just being obnoxious. And I thought, listen, Rams will find their way after this. That's a great point. Like, you don't have to be... I can find inspiration or value in the effort.
Yes.
You don't have to give me W's. Like, I thought Detroit flew home yesterday, and you had to feel good as a team and a staff. You really had a great effort.
The heartbreaking ones at the end, those are the ones that I feel like probably linger with you. Like, the Rams are a great team. They're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
They should win that game convincingly. The fact that you gave them some pushback, and look, we're not in the moral victory business here.
But it was close.
But you can't expect every single team to be great every single year.
That's
and
right.
when you are in a complete teardown rebuild,
yeah.
what you want to see is they're establishing some culture. Because obviously they're having issues with that if you have a new head coach and you have a new quarterback. So you establish some culture and show me each week something that you've adjusted, something that you've changed, something that makes me feel like, okay, yeah, they're putting something together. It takes time, but at least I feel like they're trending in the right direction and not falling apart. And that's what you need to do in these opening years. So the Lakers beat the Grizzlies yesterday, 121-118, but LeBron gave everyone a little scare. Desmond Bane collided with LeBron's right leg in the first half. He was on the floor. He stayed there for a couple minutes, and the medical staff checked on him. And after the game, he said he was initially worried when he went down.
The first thing I was thinking to myself was not again, obviously, because it was almost kind of similar, but not the same kind of play. A guy falling into my leg, and there's nothing you can do about it. I couldn't get my leg out of there in time. It's a little sore right now. And obviously, I think it's going to be a little sore tomorrow when I wake up. But obviously, I'm a round-the-clock guy when it comes to treatment. So hopefully, I'll be ready to go.
Now, he stayed in the game after the stoppage. He played a game-high 40 minutes, hit 19.6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. So he was able to continue. So it obviously wasn't that bad. But you want to monitor this and don't let it turn into something worse. And you never want to see that because he missed 26 games last season with the high ankle sprain when Solomon Hill from the Hawks crashed into him. But I thought this was a good game for the Lakers last night. And you got to see some of the things that the pieces that they brought in were supposed to do. I thought Westbrook had a nice night.
Melo had a good night. Melo shot well.
Yes, he did. Which is what he's there to do. And he did that perfectly.
By the way, Ja Morant is one of the many great young players, but I said when he came into the league, he's Westbrook with a better jumper. His athletic ability. He had a play in the first half where it was like, okay, that's like two people in the world. Derrick Rose had some of that where you're like, how is a guy that small getting over centers?
He has this insane hang time too. It's like he gets in the air and he's just like there for a second and then does whatever he wants to do. He's a great watch. So the Lakers now 1-2. Their next game is tomorrow against the Spurs.
Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I know. We're going to have to admit this. And for some of you, it's going to be very hard. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Limited time, buy Casper mattresses and get Casper products free. Up to 2 original Casper pillows and a Percale sheet set. That's a $400 value. Casper.com, Casper store near you. Casper.com for details. So, two things. Bengals blew out. Joe Burrow and the Bengals blew out the Ravens. We always talk, if you get drafted as a quarterback in the first 10 picks, overwhelmingly, you will inherit a bad offensive line. And offensive lines make your job much worse. But if you're really special, you got it. And Justin Herbert last year inherited an atrocious offensive line and set every record in the NFL for a rookie and also had the number one rating for any quarterback in the league under pressure. He overcame it. Joe Burrow last year, bad offensive line. Joe Burrow this year, average offensive line. It ain't great. 30 touchdowns and 13 picks in 17 games. Okay, the Bengals had not won a playoff game, have not in 30 years. That's what Joe Burrow inherited. He now is 17 games in. He's playing like a Pro Bowl quarterback. If you're truly great, you don't need everything to be special. That's the first thing. And secondly, you're going to elevate a lot of average around you. Now, both Herbert and Burrow, they got some things to work with. Let's be fair. Herbert had excellent wide receiving core. And Burrow has an excellent wide receiving core. So let's be fair here. But one of the things we've learned about quarterback is that Joe Burrow, what you're watching with Joe Burrow, is what a young star looks like. They elevate the good stuff to look great. Ja'Marr Chase is a kid, a very good wide receiver. Now he looks great. So Joe Burrow has taken good stuff, and Cincinnati's got some good stuff that makes it look great. And he's mostly, not all, but he's mostly hiding the bad stuff, which is, we don't know if Zach Taylor can coach. This offensive line's not top 15 in the NFL. Like, so this is what a star looks like. We always say, what about the offensive line with Tua? Well, he didn't help it any because he's small and he's not very athletic. Well, what about Justin Fields? He looks overwhelmed. Burrow's isn't very good either. Herbert's was worse last year statistically. So, you know, it's the old tractor trailer thing. If you go to last year's draft, Burrow and Herbert, this is what stars look like. Doesn't mean they don't throw ugly picks. Burrow's had a couple of regrettable throws. The game is really fast, but a great young quarterback, almost all of them. Mac Jones is a total exception. He inherited a really good offensive line. That is an outlier. But this year's class, all the quarterbacks I've watched this year, the one guy that looks special to me, like really, really special, is Trevor Lawrence. And he's only got one win. Bad O-line? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If you gave Mac Jones Trevor Lawrence's or Justin Fields' offensive line, he would be awful. Trevor Lawrence has a bad offensive line. He looks pretty good. So you can't use that excuse across the board. Burrow and Herbert, they don't have much to work with. Their first year in the league. And right now, I'd still argue Burrow still isn't good. It's okay. It's better than last year. It's okay. Here's something to throw at you. Carson Palmer, friend of the show, was on the Dan Patrick Show this morning. I don't know if we have tape of it yet. But he was talking about USC looking for a coach. Now, I talked to the athletic director at USC this weekend. I call him about once every couple of weeks. Just get an update on it. It's called journalism. And my feeling on USC, and I've said this, go pro. Go get a pro coach, not a college coach. USC, LA is different. Luke Fickell at Cincinnati is a wonderful guy. Six kids, Mr. Ohio. They interviewed him this week on Fox, and he was like, I don't like the headlines. I don't like the glamour. I don't like to be talked about. And I thought, okay, wrong fit. James Franklin would be good too. But I've talked about this before. There's three college football coaches. Mike Tomlin's name is now surfacing as a long shot for USC. So there's three college football programs that are what you'd call like urban universities in big cities. The Miami Hurricanes, UCLA, kind of. They're kind of, the stadium's out in Pasadena. But let's just stay with USC and Miami. Even when they've been great, they don't even feel like a college program. They're not pro, but they're not really college. They feel kind of like big city. If you go look at Miami and USC at their history, who's succeeded? Coaches that also worked in the NFL. John McKay, Pete Carroll, John Robinson, or you go to Miami, Dennis Erickson, Jimmy Johnson, Butch Davis, kind of guys that also fit in the NFL. If I'm USC, I've said I would go hire a pro coach. I would go hire Doug Peterson from the Philadelphia Eagles. I'd make a run at everybody. I'd make a run at Matt Rhule, Carolina. I'd offer him $10, $12 million a year. Mike Tomlin, of course I would offer it to him. And because I think Los Angeles is different. If you bring a college coach into Los Angeles, when Pete Carroll was here, there were no NFL teams. The market was wide. The Dodgers weren't nearly this good. The Lakers were good. The Clippers were a joke. So now the Lakers are still good. The Clippers are great. The Rams are in town. The Chargers are in town. Oh, LAFC is in town. And by the way, the economy now, Los Angeles is the fifth biggest economy, or California is, in the world. It's a bunch of countries than California. It's a much bigger economy than Canada. Los Angeles' economy is a large part of that that drives it. Translation. People got second homes. People got stuff to do. A lot of those boosters, they're not sticking around town if you're not fascinating. They're going to go to the pro games. They're going to go to their mountain homes, their lake homes. They're not going to stick around. This city right now is wildly distracted. There's a lot of money, a lot of stuff to do, a lot of projects, two NFL, Dodgers never been better, Clippers now good, soccer team in town. Forget the mountains and the beach, which have always been a distraction. Mike Tomlin cuts through. Mike Tomlin cuts through. Now, this is Carson Palmer talking. I don't have any insight, but I called the USC athletic director a month ago. And I said strongly, I said, I would go pro. And I made my argument. I said, I don't know who you're going to hire. It's none of my business. You hire who you want. But I think USC and Miami, how many times do the Miami Hurricanes got to roll the dice on a college guy? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's too big of a city. You get lost. You need a pro coach. Kids want to go there. Hurricanes 3 years off to the NFL. That's 2021. Part of Saban's appeal, believe it or not, is he coached in the pros. He'll get you to the pros. He gets the pros. All right, hour three is around the corner. How about that, Mike Tomlin? I don't think he's going to take the job, but I love his name out there. I'd hire him tomorrow. It's the Herd.